Turn to John chapter 4. This is a very eventful chapter in which we see Jesus moving about, bringing transforming impact in the lives of various people. Verse 3, he leaves Judea. He's headed toward Galilee. His way to Galilee, he of course would pass through Samaria, where he would minister to and save a woman of that city. You see also that many Samaritans would believe on him. We see him instructing the disciples concerning their chief purpose in life. Then we see him heading to Capernaum, where he would heal a nobleman's son. So there's a lot of events that transpire in this chapter. And in each one, Jesus Christ is the main character. The preeminence of Christ is on display throughout this chapter. Tonight we'd like to look at John chapter 4. Very familiar verses. We'd like to read verses 5 through 29. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. It's just a simple statement. Jacob's well was there. It would end up being a very significant place, of course. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and was about the sixth hour. About noon, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water, pointing to the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? In that portion, that's the main portion of Scripture here in John chapter 4. And we have record of Christ at the well, there in the city of Sychar, ministering to the needs of this particular Samaritan woman. And I believe saving her soul. There are many, many truths that are on display in this account. We see God's absolute sovereignty in saving sinners. We see Him ordering, directing all things, initiating the entire process leading to the salvation of this woman's soul. It is also here at this well in Sychar that we are showed the condition of the unsaved sinner. We see this woman is very ignorant, very blinded to who Jesus is, very blinded to the person of Jesus Christ. We also see at this well how that Christ deals with the sinner in saving them. It is also here that we see the necessity of the unsaved sinner being brought face to face with their sinful condition, as Jesus Christ brought this woman face to face with her sin. And the necessity of the sinner's eyes being opened to the glory of Christ and also of their need of Him. It is also here at this well we see Christ's willingness to receive the guilty sinner to Himself. Also here we see the amazing love, amazing mercy and grace of Christ. Also at this well, we see the uselessness of mere religion in the salvation of a sinner. We also see the wonderful change that salvation brings to the sinner's life. And it is here that we see the priceless excellency of Jesus Christ. So we see here the bulk of the chapter, the verses that we just read, speak of the salvation of this woman. However, it's not our intent to view these details in regard to her salvation experience. But we want to look at this incident and make application to the saved, with the emphasis being the importance of you and I coming to what this woman came to. And what she came to is what we preached on this morning, Christ is all. By the time you see her saying, Come see a man, and show me all things, is not this the Christ? She had come to the point where she believed and where it got a hold upon her that Jesus Christ is all. We spoke this morning on the lesson that we all need to learn. That is, Christ is all. We need to learn that lesson every day. It's a lesson we need to maintain and hold unto every day. We want to look at this woman and we want to speak tonight on learning the lesson that Christ is all. I believe we see some things here that bring us to this truth that Jesus Christ is all. First of all, notice that this woman was brought to the vivid realization that Christ is all. And then that was displayed in her life. This is seen from the actions of this woman. In verse 28 and 29, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now in verse 7, she's seen coming, and we see that she was come to do something particular, to draw water. She did not go to that well to meet Jesus Christ. She didn't even know Him. She certainly did not know He would be there. She went to that well about noon because no one else would be there. But she went with this intention, to draw water. She, of course, if she's going to draw water, she came with her water pot, her water pail, with the intent of getting water from that well, and then she would go home, and she would have water for cooking, drinking, washing, etc. To draw water, verse 7 is very, very important. To draw water is her intent. That is her intention. That is what her mind was focused upon. To draw water. That is her state of mind. To draw water. That is her objective. That is her ambition. As she headed toward that well. To draw water. That was her desire. That was her priority at that time. To draw water. Verse 7 again makes that very clear. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. This was her routine. This was her habit. She would go to that well probably about the same time every day to draw water. So this was her regimen. Now, in light of what we read in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Her action in verse 28, and we've preached on this many times, the woman left her water pot. Now, if you just read verse 7 and verse 28, it makes no sense. Why would somebody go to draw water and then leave her water pot? Something had to happen between verses 7 and verse 28. And of course, our text tells us what happened. Not only did something have to happen, but something very curious had to happen. This was her intent to draw water. And she gets there. She's gone, but there's a water pot. She left her water pot. This is no ordinary act. That statement, she left her water pot, the woman left her water pot, has to have an explanation. It does not equate with verse 7. Without some sort of exclamation or explanation. In light of, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. The statement, she left her water pot, again, that has to be explained. It has to be explained. Something. Something out of the ordinary had to happen between those two statements. And what happened, of course, was the salvation of her soul. But what happened, needs to happen. I'm not talking about salvation, but what needs to happen every day to you and I. Something took place that the water pot was no longer a priority in this woman's life. Getting water at that well was no longer a priority. That was her priority in verse 7. But by the time you get down to verse 28, that's no longer her priority, because she left her water pot. That is, the ordinary and the routine has been interrupted. It's been interrupted. And we've stated this before when we've preached on this. If you were living in those days and you were to come to a well and you see a water pot, you would, of course, look around. Certainly someone must be nearby. And as you looked around, you don't see anybody. So you would immediately assume something must be wrong with the water pot. Must have a hole in it. Must have a leak in it. You examine the water pot. There's no hole. There's no leak. It's a perfectly fine water pot. So then you begin to think something had to happen. You don't just leave a water pot at the well. And of course, our text tells us what happened. A water pot was absolutely essential. Might not mean much to you and I, but a water pot in those days, of course, was absolutely essential. But something happened for someone to leave a water pot. And what happened on that day is this woman's perspective was changed. And I believe there is a relative change in the position of the water pot. That is, whatever happened at the well, and we know what happened, but what happened at the well, the water pot now, in light of what happened, is not as important as it was when she came to draw water. Things have changed. Not only did she leave her water pot, but you read verse 28 and 29, and she is living a different life. In verse 28 and 29. Her life has changed. And the reason is because of what happened at the well. Now we know it was salvation. But that's not our application this evening. So we see her in verse 28 and 29. She says, "Come see a man." Her mind is not on the water pot. The water pot represents the temporal things of life, the everyday things of life. But that's not where her mind is. Her mind is on Christ, because she has come to realize that Jesus Christ is more important than my water pot. He's even more important than the water. There has been a radical change in her perspective. Christ has taken precedence over the water pot. The water pot is still important. She's going to need that water pot. She didn't leave it there forever. She would need that water pot. But it's not as important. And that should always be true. The things of this life should not be as important as Jesus Christ. And when we come to this, when we learn this lesson that Christ is all, the everyday task of life, and again, the everyday task must go on. The next day she would go and with her water pot. But I want to say she never went to that well the same again. Now with the same attitude, everything's changed. Because she's learned this lesson that Christ is all. And that truth has now gripped her heart. So I want to look tonight at how this came about. Again, we realize that the passage is speaking of a salvation experience, but there's some principles here that we, the saved, can apply to our own life. So she came to this truth, Christ is all. And I believe we want to notice tonight seven things that happened at that well, which resulted in, come see a man. That's the only thing that's on her mind. And these seven things, I believe, also are necessary for you and I to learn and to maintain the truth, Christ is all. Perhaps today we realize and we feel, and it's got a hold of us, that Christ is all. Then comes tomorrow. And I believe we need these seven things if we're going to maintain Christ is all. I believe everyone here that's saved, there have been times in our life, perhaps many times, where it gripped our hearts that Christ is all. But we also know that if we're not careful, that has a way of just kind of fleeting away and moving into the background. So these seven things will help us, I believe, to maintain this truth that Christ is all. Because we live in a world where things always get in the way. Come tomorrow, there will be something in the lives of every one of us that threaten our relationship with Jesus Christ, that threatens to get between us and Christ. These seven things. First of all, number one, there was a personal one-on-one meeting with Christ. Without that, we tend to forget. We tend to forget. You meet with somebody every day, you're not going to forget them. A one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ. Again, from our text, we see that there was a change in this woman's purpose. There was a change in her plans, her focus, her state of mind, her ambition, her desire, her priority, her perspective upon water pots. What brought about this change was a personal one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ. And during that meeting, she came under the transforming power of Christ. It's not enough just to have a time of Bible reading. We need that. A time of prayer. We need that. But it has to be a personal one-on-one meeting with Christ that has a transforming power upon us, that has an impact upon us. We can read this book every day. We can set aside time every day. And we can set aside time for prayer. But if it does not impact our life, we're doing something wrong. So here was a one-on-one meeting that would have an impact upon this woman's life, that would have an impact upon her day. She went there about noon. Now we don't know how long the conversation took, but I don't believe it was a lengthy conversation because again, the disciples eventually returned. They had gone out to buy food. So we can gather that they came back at least by supper time since they went out to buy food. But it was this meeting. From there, she went from the well saying, come see a man. It had an impact upon the rest of her day, what transpired at that well. And every day we need to meet with Christ. And it needs to have an impact upon us so that it has an impact upon the rest of our day. Christ is all. Secondly, during this meeting, she personally heard Him speaking to her. In verse 7, we read, Jesus saith unto her. Jesus saith unto her. Jesus wasn't sitting at the well, talking to Himself. She comes along and hears His voice. Jesus saith unto her. She's in the place where Jesus is. And Jesus speaks to her. And He speaks something very definite. Something that would draw her attention to Him. Give me. We need to hear Him personally every day. We need to hear Him say every day, give me, the Savior of our souls, the One who paid our sin debt on Calvary, saying to us, this ought to melt our hearts, give me. That ought to melt us. Give me. We ought to be willing to give Him whatever it is. She did not have to wonder who He was talking to. There was only two people there. It was no mystery who He was speaking to. And every day we need to hear Him say to us, give me, and there must be no doubt in our mind that He is talking directly to me. It's a one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ. This one-on-one meeting where Christ speaks to us reminds us Christ is all. I need to be reminded of that every single day. To my shame, Christ is all. I need to be reminded of it throughout the day. Because we can start off the day believing and it takes a hold of us, Christ is all. Then a bunch of things start happening and we lose sight of Christ. And now all of these things is everything. And we need to be reminded again. Don't forget what it's about. Christ is all. So this is necessary in order for us to be reminded Christ is all. And it will also keep, when we're reminded that Christ is all, it keeps the water pots of everyday life in their proper place. Yes, we need the water pots. They're necessary. They're necessary for us to live. But we must keep the water pots in their proper place. And that's by getting hold of this truth and the truth getting hold of us that Christ is all. That keeps the water pots in the right place. Because any time I let the water pots take the place of Christ, I'm in for a miserable day. And pretty soon you do that 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, 2 years, 3 years. Guess what? You've got a miserable life. You've got a miserable life. Thirdly, her attention was directed to Him. Verse 7 again, Jesus saith unto her, give me. Me. Perhaps He's pointing to Himself, I don't know, but He says, give me. And anytime someone speaks to us and they say, me, our attention is upon them. Remember what she came there for. She came to draw water. But she arrives, and he speaks unto her, and he says, "Give me." What's happened? Her attention has been diverted. Had her attention not been diverted, what would she have done? She would have drawn water. She would have been on her way, never knowing who that man was at the well. Not even caring. She would have just been on her way. How many times you and I, in any given day, would just been on our way, swamped with the tasks of the day. But thanks be to God, He diverted our attention. And He calls our attention to Himself. We ought to thank God every time the Lord diverts our attention toward Him. Because it serves as a reminder that Christ is all. And that truth that Christ is all keeps the water pots of everyday life in their proper place. Fourthly, it was revealed to her during this conversation that she was a needy individual and that Jesus had what she needed. Verse 10, Jesus answered, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest," implying that she's ignorant, "if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee," if you knew who I was, "give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." He reveals to her her need, and that he had what she needed. Every day, we need a fresh realization. I am needy. I need Christ. I need Him today. I'll need Him a half hour from now. And a half hour from now, He'll be what I need. We need to be reminded of that every day. It helps us to remember Christ is all. He's everything. And that lesson, again, keeps the water pots of everyday life in their proper place. Notice also in verse 10, fifthly, Christ, He's admonishing her. He's admonishing her. He made her aware of her need. He made her aware of her ignorance. We need to be made aware of our need every day. Need to be made aware of our ignorance every day. In verses 11 and 12, she boasted of Jacob's well. And in verse 13, Jesus rebuked that. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," pointing to the well, "shall thirst again." What's he telling her? He's declaring the utter vanity of earthly things. He is telling this woman, yes, you need this water. You need this water. This water is for your use, the water of Jacob's well. But this water isn't going to last. It's not going to last. It's not eternal. It's not going to suffice. You need something more. And yes, there are the daily tasks of life, and there are the daily physical needs of life. You can't get around that. But those things do not last. And it is not what is most important. It never is. And Christ is simply declaring the water in this well. You're going to thirst again. It does not suffice. How many times God's people, something's bothering them. So they fill their day up with activity to get their mind off of that. But guess what? That might work for a while. But the activity has to stop at some point. And guess what happens then? You see, the earthly is not the solution. It's not the solution. And this is what Christ is telling this woman. And we need to be reminded of this every day. In verse 14, Jesus declares where real satisfaction of soul can be found. And what do we want? Temporary satisfaction that'll get us through the next hour? Or do we want something that'll get us through the day? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. It's active. Into everlasting life. We need to be reminded of that. Verses 16 through 18. Jesus confronts her sin. He lures her into this conversation, and during the conversation, guess what comes up? Her sin. And if we talk with the Lord, He talks with us. Guess what's going to eventually come up? Our shortcomings. Our sin. Now, did He confront her sin to destroy her? No. He confronted her sin to bring her to this point of blessing. We need this every day also. For Jesus to tell us what our sin is. In verse 20, she appealed to her religion. She appealed to her worship. In verse 21 through 24, Jesus takes away all hope that she had in religion, revealing to her the vanity of mere religion. We need to be reminded of this every day also. Just mere religious exercises, that's not going to do. It's not going to do. Need something more. And how wonderful it is when Jesus reminds us that you need something more than just the motions of religion. Again, these things are necessary in order for us to be reminded Christ is all. And necessary to keep the water pots of everyday life in their proper place. And then sixthly, Christ revealed Himself to her. Verse 26 of John chapter 4. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am. Jesus revealed Himself to her. He stands there at the well, revealed, unveiled to her. Jesus saith unto her, I am. She now has a clear perception of His person. She now has a clear perception of His magnificence and His glory. If you and I get to the point where we struggle with Christ as all, it's because we've lost our perception of who He is. We need this every day. For Christ to stand before us revealed, I am. He was revealed to her. He was made known to her. He needs to be made known to us every day. And she received Him. She's personally met, personally experienced Jesus Christ. That will serve as a reminder. Christ is all. And that will keep the water pots in their proper place. Seventhly, lastly, she received from the fountain of living water. Again in verse 7, it says that she came to draw water. In verse 28, she left her water pot at the well. In other words, she didn't draw water from that well. But she did not go away empty. She had a different kind of water. She had that water that Jesus spoke of in verse 14, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In a real meeting with Christ, we don't go away empty. That's a good way to determine if we've had a real meeting. You don't go away empty. You don't go away mad. You don't go away bitter. You go away happy. Come see a man. She received from the fountain of living water. And as you look at her in verse 28 and 29, everything was different. Everything was different. All because of what transpired at the well that day. We need this every day. And it serves as a reminder to us that Christ is all. And it will keep the water pots of everyday life. And there are water pots of everyday life. That's how we live. But those water pots must be kept in the proper place. So what happened at the well that day took over her life. Again, you just read verse 28 and 29 over and over and over again. Christ has captivated her mind and her heart. Christ was everything to her. And she couldn't help but speak of Him. We need to speak of Him. The people we come into contact with. And when we're really convicted that He's everything, it's much easier to tell someone, come see a man. Is not this the Christ? So she leaves the water pot, and now uppermost in her mind is Christ. And as you read those verses in verse 28 and 29, you see, you can picture her. There's a passion. There's animation upon her face. There's excitement in her voice. And she says to everyone, come see a man. And it was all due to what happened at the well. You see, what happened at the well, her perception of Christ was changed. Notice verse 9, and we'll stop here in a minute. Verse 9. How is it that thou, being a Jew? So there's Christ standing at the well. How does she perceive him? He's just a Jew. He's just a Jew. But she goes from that to come see a man. Is not this the Christ? You see, she has come to the realization that this is no ordinary Jew. This is Christ. She's come to the realization that Christ is all. And there are God's people today who have this perception of Christ. He's Jesus. He's the one that I worship God through. And they have their doctrine fairly straight on who Christ is. But when you get right down to it, they really haven't developed much past thou being a Jew. It hasn't impacted their life. We've got to get to the point where we see Christ for who He is. And that's what causes us to leave the water pot. So we need to meet Him. We need to hear Him. We need to see Him. We need to know Him. We need to receive Him. And then this truth, Christ is all, grips our hearts. And in verse 28 and 29, this woman is no longer living her life in relation to water pots. She's living her life in relation to Christ. And we need to stop quite frequently and examine, what are we living our life in relation to? A job? Family? Recreation? What are we living our life in relation to? It's when we come to this truth that Christ is all, that we no longer live our lives. Again, I'm not saying the water pots aren't important. We need the water pots. We can't live without the daily tasks. We've got to do those things. But this woman's not living her life in relation to the water pot. She's now living her life in relation to Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. We need the water pot, but we're not to be controlled by the water pot. We're to be controlled by Christ. Christ is all. And I'm telling you, and you know it also, you know it by experience, life is much easier and life is much happier when life is lived in relation to Christ rather than the water pots. And we also know by experience how easy it is for that to shift. We can be living our life in relation to Christ, and then all of a sudden, we've shifted. And now we're living in relation to the water pot. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. But the key is that as soon as that shift takes place, here we are living our life in relation to Christ, something happens, and now we've switched it, and we're living in relation to the water pot. As soon as that happens, we'd better recognize it. Because you let some days go by and some weeks go by and some months go by, and pretty soon, guess what? Your life has gone by. And you have lived your life in relation to water pots. God saved our soul, and there's so much more than the water pots of life. I don't expect the lost man to live in relation to anything else but the water pot. That's all he has. But you and I have more. And what a sad, sad, sad tale that a child of God has lived their life in relation to water pots rather than in relation to Jesus Christ. And most of those people are scared to death that if they live in relation to Christ rather than the water pots, they're going to lose out. So they live life in relation to water pots and all the loss. You'll never lose out more than living your life in relation to water pots rather than Christ. Oh, what we lose. What we lose just in a moment. That this truth would get a hold of us. Christ is all. Again, there isn't anyone here that would argue that theologically. We all admit that. We all recognize that. That Jesus Christ is all. But it needs to be our life. It needs to get a hold of us. Needs to get a hold of us. We love our families. We love our children. We love our grandchildren. On and on we can go. But that's not what it's all about. Christ. Christ is all. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.